go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win.
Welcome, everyone, to this episode of Deep Space High, sci-fi TV podcast, where we break down the latest, possibly not so greatest episode from today's sci-fi TV. I'm Jedi Master Steve.
And I'm Sky Marshal Chris.
So, Chris, I was scrolling through our lovely podcast-centric Gmail, which, for those of you who don't know, which I don't think we've ever announced it, we have a Gmail if you want to lend us or send us fan or hate mail at deepspacehighpod@gmail.com. So I was scrolling through that the other day. I saw we had an email from our host, which is Spreaker, and they're like, someone left you a comment. And I was like, oh, this is great, because, you know, we haven't got comments since the first couple episodes when some of your friends were commenting on our shows. Mm-hmm. I was like, let's see what's going on. So I pull it up. I get redirected to the app so I could see the comment. And what's the comment? It's a bot that says, hey, sexy, how you doing? Send me a message here at like www.sexpod.com or something like that. I don't remember off the top of my head. But I was like,
man, those bots are really everywhere.
I know. And I was like, well, thanks for killing my excitement. I was like,
well, maybe it's trying to get you excited in a different way.
But I guess so. But I mean, it did it on this podcast and it did it on our other podcast that we had. So I think some bot just ran through Spreaker and just left all kinds of comments.
I don't know if it was the same bot, though. I mean, maybe it was a different bot.
It was the exact same message. It was a different username. So.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it is what it is, but it got my hopes up for nothing, that those damn bots. I was like, yay, more people are engaging with our show. It's about time. We're building an audience. Yeah, we're building a bot audience. It's a bodience. It's not the audience you want either.
You know that you're stoned when that joke was funny.
I know, it was a bad joke too. I even told myself, don't say it. That's a terrible joke. What do I do? Oh, yep, it's there a bodience.
That's funny.
But yeah, we have an interesting episode in store.
Yeah,
for today,
let's.
So.
Why don't we actually get to the episode?
You can do it. You can do it all night long.
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, man, let's do it.
I mean, come on, I just don't see a problem here. Let's just do it.
I'm gonna go do it.
So, what do we have in store for this week's episode, brother?
Today's episode, we are starting to wind down The Mandalorian with Season 1, Episode 7, entitled The Reckoning. This is an interesting episode. I enjoyed watching it.
Yeah, and then I did too. But I was rewatching it again this morning, and I noticed something, because I've watched this episode a couple of times, unlike, you know, the previous episodes. So for this one, when Apollo Creed sent the holo message, I just remembered that Mando did not, you know, he may have not known that he was still alive. Because remember, he shot him, and he just so happened to shoot him in the Baskar Steel. And I remember that was something we talked about in a previous episode. That did Mando know what he was doing, or was it just a lucky shot? So
yeah,
I think Apollo. Or what's his name? What's his actual name? I just call him
Greef Karga is his character, their name.
Greef Karga. I'm going to stick with Apollo. So Apollo, Apollo's like, yeah, you might be surprised to see me. So I'm starting to think like maybe Apollo thought it was a lucky shot too. And he did intend to kill him.
Yeah, it very well could have been. But I think, now that I think about it from that episode, when he shoots him off his ship, like he shoots him in the spot where it takes him all the way back off the ship. Like, you know, what? Whose laws? Who has the laws of motion? Is it Newton's laws of motion?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, the first law of motion is every action has an equal and opposite reaction. And if it would have hit like just him, his body or his jacket or whatever, I don't think it would have blown him back. I think it would have like late at the end of this episode, we see phaser bolts go straight through a person.
Yeah, we do. So that's why I'm like, yeah, I kind of get it.
But I think it's a toss up. I mean, maybe he was trying to kill him and missed and just, you know, was happy he was off his ship, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, when he gets shot with the Bhaskar, how far does he go flying? Because the only time you ever really see him go flying when he gets hit was when, what was her name? The bounty hunter chick shot him with the sniper blast.
Oh, yeah. That's true. And he didn't even move that much.
No. No, it really doesn't. But, I mean, it knocks him on his ass.
Yeah. That's the thing. He might have been close enough to the ramp in that episode to where it knocked him back and he rolled down the ramp. I don't remember if he flew all the way back and missed the ramp entirely or if he just kind of stumbled back off the ramp onto the ground. So I think he could have gone either way.
Could have. Or maybe it was just a problem with the directing. You know, we're always so high on how good the directing is. Maybe it was just they wanted to make it dramatic and it didn't make sense. Oh, and by the way, I think you were off with the Newton's law. I think it was Newton's third law that you referred to, not the first law. Just got to be a dick and point that out. Continue. It is a sci-fi podcast.
No, I'm pretty sure his third law is inertia. Or wait, hold on.
No.
No, fuck that. I'm fact-checking. I'm Googling it now.
I've already Googled it. First law, a body will remain at rest or moving at constant speed in a straight line unless it is acted upon by some force. Newton's third law is whenever one object exerts a force on a second object, the second object exerts an equal and opposite force back on the first object. It is Newton's third law of motion. Fact checked. And second law just so is force equals mass times acceleration. Just in case anybody else wanted to know. Google.
Oh, yeah. Damn it. Gah! Whatever. I knew it's one of the laws of motions. I'm not a scientist. I'm an accountant, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah, that's fair.
But back to this episode. Interesting scene. Kind of the opening scene sets it all up. Grief Karga sends Mando a lovely message. It's like, hey, ever since your shit show in episode 3 where you came up shooting the guild, now the imps are here and everyone's pissed off and they're cutting into my business. So why don't you come back? We'll work out a deal and you kill the imp and my guild can get on its merry way and I'll clear your name.
You know, so that's how I noticed that they started to use that word a lot more, imp, to refer to Imperial troopers. Like they don't really do it a lot before this episode.
No, I didn't. Noticed it. It really takes off in this episode. I think it was said a couple of times in prior episodes. But I think definitely the word imp is used more in this episode than anywhere else in the season so far.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it was one of those things where the director or the writer or somebody was like, hey, you know what would be a good nickname for Imperial troopers? You just call them imps.
Yeah.
And there's like, oh, maybe we'll just kind of slide it in here and maybe nobody will notice.
Well, people notice. But I think the thing is, you know, with this one's a Cara-centric, not centric, but she's Cara Dunes in this episode more, being an ex-Rebel shock trooper, I'm sure that's what they referred to them as. And so in the fourth episode when we saw her, they didn't really reference the Imperials too much. So that could be kind of where it catches on. She brings it on, and Mando just kind of uses that more.
That makes sense. I mean, after war, I mean, during war, it's very common to refer to your enemy with a nickname. I won't go into any of them, but from a historical context, that is historically accurate.
Yeah. So like, you know, I can think of one for the Nazis in Vietnam or in World War II, and then one for the
Japanese,
the Viet Cong. Yeah. And then the Japanese from World War II and then the Viet Cong and Vietnam War. So, yeah, I think that's kind of where it is. And her lingo just rubbed off on Mando.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it is kind of catchy. I might start referring to it myself.
Right. Me too. I already did. So it's like, well, God,
didn't even notice it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But with that interesting opening scene, setting up this whole episode. Mando goes, he goes to recruit Kara. She's hesitant at first, but as soon as he drops the imp name, or, you know, it being an imperial officer, she's like, I'm on board. I'm down. I'm game. Let's fuck this fucker up.
Mm-hmm.
So
she must really hate the Empire.
Yeah. And then I realized, you know, when they're on their ship, I don't know if they were going back to Navarro, but watching this, I realized that they weren't going to go pick up Quill until Baby Yoda decides to be adorable as shit and mess with the ship and try to pilot it himself while they're downstairs talking.
Yeah.
And well, she brings up the point.
I think you skipped ahead because we didn't. This is when we find out what his name is. And we found out the guy, the little pig guy's name is Quill.
Oh, yes. Sorry. We do find out his name is Quill. So,
mm-hmm.
But yeah. Where I was going at was I don't think Mando intended to pick him up because of what happened on the ship with Baby Yoda. Cara Dune's like, you need someone to watch this guy or this kid because he's just going to cause trouble if no one's keeping an eye on him. So that's when they go to whatever. I don't think they ever named the desert planet he's on, but go back to the planet from the first and second episode and pick up Quill and a newly refurbished and reprogrammed IG-11.
Yeah, and they were not happy to see IG-11.
No, and it was interesting to see the detail that Quill had to go into to explain everything he did for him. I mean, if it was me, I would have just been like, yeah, I found him there from you blowing his brains out, and I trained him and reprogrammed him so he's no longer a hunting droid or a bounty hunter droid. Assassin droid, that's what he is. He's an assassin droid.
Well, I thought it was interesting because they did like a little training montage of, you know, the droid from the very beginning. You know, it's not able to do anything and it has it slowly getting better over time. I thought that was interesting because there was actually something similar to that in Star Trek where that was something that Data had to go through. And two, you see a similar montage with Data with Lao, because Lao was an android that he created and considered his daughter and had to go through that. And I just thought that was an interesting, it has nothing really to do with Star Wars, but I thought it's an interesting parallel between Star Wars and Star Trek. Just
yeah, but
wanted to point that out there for my Trekkies.
The parallel shows, you know, how two different franchises can show that just because you create an android or a droid, you know, it's not all programming and coding. You have to actually go in and physically have it calibrate, you know, how much pressure can you put on a cup before it breaks and how much, you know, and moving and everything and when to set things down. So it's kind of interesting to see how these two franchises take on training a droid / android.
Well, I think it's, you know, now that you bring that up, you know, that was one of the very, I don't want to say very, but big high points when it comes to the next generation, because Data was such a great, you know, outside observer of humanity, and he was constantly learning to grow and be better. And with The Mandalorian, you got Mando who hates droids. Mm-hmm. And I feel like with the IG, because as they go into later in the episode, he explains that they go through everything to train him, and he becomes a nursing droid.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I kind of forgot where I was going with this. Oh yeah. I feel like they're going to kind of play on a similar, maybe I feel like you're going to see a lot more growth and a little bit more droid centric, maybe in season two of, you know, trying to find that more sense of humanity or find personalization of these droids that, hey, maybe they're not so bad after all.
Yeah.
For Mando. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe they're going to start rebelling like they did in Solo.
Oh my gosh. I just had to bring that up. That was the weirdest scene.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that doesn't happen more often, though.
Right? But another thing, we're talking about the same scene where they all kind of get together meeting with the Ugnaught Krill. And Krill brings up this fascinating point that he is in the child / Baby Yoda, hasn't aged since they last saw him. Now, I know episode 4 takes place over a couple weeks, maybe even a month, but how much time has passed from the end of episode 2 when Mandalorian leaves. That's the last we saw Quill until the start of this episode. For him to even consider bringing up that question, there has to be a considerable amount of time. We know at least a month, because that was the span of episode 4. So are we talking 3, 4, maybe 6 months between the end of episode 2 and the start of episode 6?
Yeah, I mean, it could be, because, I mean, just because when we saw it, it was a span of a week, doesn't mean that the events of the storyline happened, you know, in a week. You know, there could be a lot of lag time. I don't know how long it takes to travel across the galaxy. I mean, he's had to travel a lot of different spots and then return to the same spots over again. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, it could have been months. Hell, for all we know, it could have been a year.
Yeah, so that's the interesting thing, because it also brings up the question that Quill had, or maybe Mando had, I can't remember, but it brought up genetic engineering and...
It hasn't grown much.
I think it might be a strand cast.
I don't think it was engineered. I've worked in the gene farms. This one looks evolved, too ugly.
Maybe that Baby Yoda was genetically engineered, and that's Quill's like, no, he doesn't seem like a creature that was engineered. It seems like evolution has taken place in this creature. But it's funny, because he looks at Carr, he's like,
this one, on the other hand, looks like she was farmed in the Sido Caves of Nora.
This is Cara Dune. She was a shock trooper.
Now, that looks like a specimen that could have been engineered. I was like, oh, damn.
Yeah, they do not get along very well, do they?
I don't know, because they take shots all throughout this episode with him being involved in the Empire, her being on the Rebel side, so there's definitely some tension between them.
Yeah, but he mentioned that he paid off his debt to his clan to, you know, earn his freedom, and that I guess maybe his clan sold him to the Empire as slave labor, and that's why he had to work for the Empire?
Well, it could have been, because he keeps trying to reiterate that he wasn't on the side of the Empire by choice, and that's something that wasn't quite coming across Kara's mind, or Cara Dune's mm-hmm. mind. So he was like, I spent years, I was sold to the Empire, I paid off my clan's debt, which is probably just another name for family or family line.
Could be, or, you know, nation, species, you know, clan could be a similar concept to, you know, or nation concept that we have.
Well, yeah.
Like
so,
U.S. or something, I don't know.
So, long story short is he spent 3 lifetimes, so probably 180 years, no, probably 260 years, if you're thinking, I don't know, mathematically, I don't know how I made that jump, but whatever.
I don't either. 80 times 3. 240 years, probably.
Well, yeah. So we'll say between 240 and 260 years spent as a slave.
Yeah.
And ended up paying his debt with the Empire after he was sold to him, and now he's a free man just building shit.
Like, what was it that he collected such a high debt? Like,
I don't know.
Throughout history, people who were slaves were because they owed money. And that was for almost thousands of years. That's where most slaves came from. So, I mean, how much money did he spend to be in servitude for 240 years before he could pay off his debt?
I don't know. Maybe he had a gambling. Maybe, and it might not be him, but I'm thinking maybe if someone in his line that screwed up and had acquired a large amount of debt, and then, you know, him being a descendant of people in that line, he had to work to pay it off.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. Family debt?
So, because that was some things, too, throughout, you know, Earth's history, where if, you know, you were enslaved because you owed money, but you ended up dying, well, now the debt passes to your children, and your children become a slave.
Shit, that still happens. It's called student loans. I hate to say it, but I mean, if you
it's
take
a little
out,
different of a concept, but
well, not exactly. You die, that debt still doesn't, it doesn't go away. I mean, that does will carry over to your children.
Well,
so I mean,
we're not getting into that.
Just saying, but, I just
it, okay. Just back to the episode. Let's get back to the episode a little bit.
Yeah.
So,
where were we at?
Well, we were talking about when they're on the ship heading to Navarro. Well, kind of. But
yeah, no, I think we got past that because we already picked them up.
Heading to Navarro, that's the planet where he meets Greef Karga or Apollo Creed.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You get an interesting scene where Mando and Kara are arm wrestling and Baby Yoda thinks Mando's in danger, so he goes to force choke Kara. I was like, ooh, that's fascinating. And then it hit me. I was like, okay, we obviously know Baby Yoda's very strong with the force.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a baby and he already knows how to force choke.
I know, right? So it made me beg the question, is like, how we know age-wise, like physically he's in maybe a year, year and a half compared to a human, but mentally he's got to be a little more developed or at least aware of his instincts to know, hey, he seems in danger, I could force choke her. Or as we saw in episode 2, levitates the mudhorn so Mando can kill him and saves his life. And then we saw him even try to force heal after that fight with the mudhorn, and we do see him force heal later in this episode with Greef Karga. So it's like he's got to be more in tune with the force and more intelligent than he's coming off as. Like, obviously he's small and has to waddle everywhere, but and can't quite talk yet. But he's got to know stuff in order to.
He could
know,
be.
Hey, I could force choke her because Mando's in danger. Hey, I could heal him because he's on the verge of death.
I mean, he could be, but you also got to remember, bringing it back to Earth for a second, babies can actually swim when they're infants, just from instinct. But they actually forget as they get older, and you have to reteach them how to swim. So he could be doing this purely from instinct.
So you're thinking, okay, he could use it now, but maybe 2 years from now, when he's older and more developing more, he'll forget and has to relearn the force.
Well, I'm thinking maybe like another 25, 30 years, given that he's already 50 years old. But yeah,
pretty much.
Like, you know, the same from going from 1 year to 3 years of age. You know, you kind of – there's a lot that kids learn, and it's kind of setting aside their natural instincts and learning something unnatural that other people have learned. You know what I mean? So they forget their natural instincts, and we have to reteach them just the simple stuff again.
Yeah, makes sense.
So it could be, but you never know. He did poke his head out to check up on them that they weren't doing anything before he started playing with the joystick. So
yeah, that's why I think – that's part of why I thought maybe he was smarter than he's given off, because he's like, all right, can I instigate something? And then we peek down. All right, coast is clear. They're not paying attention. Let me go fuck around in the cockpit.
True. Like, but then again, Rambo, and for those of you who don't know, Rambo is my dog. He'll do the same thing. He'll check to see what we're doing. And, you know, he's smart. Be able to figure out, hey, if there's food or if I know I'm going to do something in trouble, let's check and make sure that nobody's around to see me. Yeah. And I noticed that they poke their head out before they start to do something bad. So you never know.
Yeah. They were really bad at that when he was younger, but.
Yeah, they picked it up as they get older.
Okay, yeah. Valid points.
Where are we at? All right, so they get to Navarro.
Yes, they're on Navarro. They come out in these blurgs, which kind of curious how they fit on three of them on there. It didn't look quite that big enough ship, but whatever. I'll take it as it is. And
it could be. I don't know. That's a fair point, actually, now that I think about it.
Yeah,
three of them and three of the blurgs. And IG.
And an IG. And it looks like, you know, the only part of the ship that's on the second level is the cockpit. So it's really kind of the cockpit goes two levels. I don't think
there's a third. No, it's not, because there's a – the second level is where the cargo door was.
Right, and that's where the cargo door was, the space toilet that we saw for the first time in the series, his sleeping quarters, if you can call them quarters, was just a bunk.
Maybe so there was an undercarriage somewhere. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. I'll have to go back and see, because that seems like not a lot of space for all that cargo.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. They come down.
But he's got to store his like food somewhere, though.
Yeah, maybe he has them in the netting, kind of hanging from the top of the raft, the top of the cargo hold.
Yeah, because, I mean, they don't have replicators, so he's got to keep food somewhere, and he's got to keep storage somewhere.
So, good point.
Maybe there's a smuggler's hatch or smuggler's hatches.
Hey, you never know. There could be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that brings up a good point, because in episode 4, we see on the Millennium Falcon, there's, I mean, you see him in more movies than that, but that's where you first see it, is that there's smuggling hatches that are in the floor. So yeah, maybe on the cargo floor, there's a couple hatches where he can store random stuff. Probably not blurgs, but food or materials or whatever he needs. Toilet paper.
Yeah, that's why I made the reference. Yeah. I know some Star Wars.
No, I just had to think it out, and I ended up talking it out. So, okay. Whatever. Back to the episode.
All right, back to the episode. So they make it to Navarro.
So they're on Navarro, and they work out this wonderful plan that's not that wonderful. It's kind of stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But end up, you know, there's obviously distrust between Grief and Mando, obviously, because, you know, one shot the other.
Yeah, and then, I mean, Apollo, or Karga. Wait, it's Karga, right?
Yeah.
Karga? You know what I mean. He brings 3 guild members as kind of backup.
Yeah, cause he tells them at first, he's like, I'll bring some reliable and trustworthy, loyal guild members as securities. That way, you know, you can trust me. Okay, like that's going to fucking help.
Mm-hmm.
Been sending guys my way freaking all series. I trust you just by your word.
Right. Well, I don't think he's sending them. I just think that the...
Well, the Empire's recruiting them, but they're his guild members.
Yeah, or
some of them are his, you know, bounty hunters. But you get, obviously, some tension between the two groups, and they end up setting up camp for the night, which I don't know why they met so late. Maybe they
just got to the planet late. I mean, you can't help what time you arrive at the planet.
True. But still, you could have been like, oh, we'll drop in the morning, and then they could just make the trip all day. But still, if they had that, then you wouldn't get the scene where they set up camp by a lava river and some flying pterodactyls come in and just snatch up a blurg and snatch up one of the bounty hunters.
And their food.
And they have poisonous claws to where, I guess, a scratch kind of puts a person at risk. Because that's what happens to Grief Karga. He just gets scratched on the arm.
I mean, that makes sense. I mean, you scratch him, claw him, carry him away. By the time that you get to your nest, dinner's dead and ready to eat.
Well, yeah, but... You know, I'm thinking about it. Okay, an eagle will snatch it and kind of dig its claws in and kill it. Why does it need the poison? You're already getting stabbed by like 6 sharp knives. Why do you need to add poison to it? And can it eat its own poison?
Well, I mean, it is a lava planet, so I'd imagine the wildlife native to that biosphere would be pretty tough to deal with the harsh environment. So it would need the extra poison to be able to, you know, maybe it's barely able to penetrate the skin of these animals, and the poison's the final nail in the coffin, so to speak.
Maybe. Well, I didn't have too much trouble picking up one of the blurgs and flying off with it and trying to pick up a second one before they shot it dead.
No, they were pretty damn big.
Yeah.
That's probably why they went after him, because they figured easy prey.
Yeah, that's 3 days worth of food.
And then, you know, Apollo Creed does the one thing you never do. What could happen?
Yeah. What could go wrong?
Yeah.
Q. There it is.
Literally the moment that he says it. Yeah.
Yeah. Takes the food right out of his hand.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then this is where I was referencing where we see Baby Yoda using his powers to force heal. And to force heal someone from trying to stop the spread of poison with 3 pretty big gashes in his forearm. I was like, that... It obviously takes a lot out of him, because you see Baby Yoda fall to his behind like you do a lot of times when he exerts himself with the Force. But
right,
it's like, how come this would have been a pretty useful power in all of the movies? How come we're just now seeing it? How come? Because we see it here, and I think we see it in Episode 9, if I remember the one time I watched it correctly, but I had to drink a little bit. Well, I'm just trying to figure out, how powerful do you have to be to use this Force heal? Because, you know, we see Baby Yoda do it, so if Baby Yoda could do it, I'm assumed full-grown Yoda could do it. And then whoever uses it, is it Rey or is it Kylo Ren?
Yeah, it is Rey.
Uses it. One of them uses it, and
they both use it, actually.
Apparently they're pretty powerful in 9.
But I mean, it makes sense because I think in 9, when what's his name? Ben, Kylo, uses it on Rey, you know, it kills him. So I mean, but then again, Rey was dead, wasn't she?
Well, is that force? Like, I don't know if that's force healing versus transferring your force powers or your essence into them.
But I think it may be healing, and it's using their energy, their health to help them. So if you bring someone back to the dead or from the dead, then it takes your life to do it. But if you're just healing somebody, it takes a lot out of you. That's why Baby Yoda, you know, falls, because he's weakened by it. But it helps them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because I mean,
almost like giving your life points to them.
From what I understand about the Force is it's like an energy bar in a video game. The more you use it, the less you can use it.
Right.
So until you like rest and recharge, and then full power with the Force again. But I don't know. Just like someone to do some splaining.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's all we need, some explanations. What the hell's going on?
Well, maybe we'll find out in season 2, you know? I mean, there's been rumors that Ahsoka could be in... It's Ahsoka, right? She's the Padawan of Anakin Skywalker. Could be in season 2. So maybe they find her and maybe she'll teach them.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up, because I saw an article the other day where Ahsoka and Rosario Dawson, the alleged person who's supposed to play her, were never confirmed by Disney, so we don't know how true that is.
Yeah, but I'd imagine that they would rather try and keep things quiet, because they did the same thing with Baby Yoda, and they tried very hard to keep that silent, and they succeeded, so I'd imagine they're going to try and keep any casting decisions or casting roles of, you know, to a minimum. Because they don't want to give away surprises. Or they could have intentionally done it to mislead on a different direction that they want to go in.
Yeah. Well, let's get more into that next episode when we go over season 2 theories.
Okay.
That we could do that as a segment, as part of the finale. So to finish up talking about, you know, what's happening in this episode, after Baby Yoda heals Greef Karga, they meet to the point where they're just outside of the city, and that's when all was revealed that Karga and the two bounty hunters were going to turn on him and just kill him and give him the child, so the Empire could be on their merry way.
Right.
But for obvious reasons, Greef Karga has second thoughts, given that Baby Yoda just saved his life and he's a pretty powerful being and couldn't go through with it.
And adorable being. Don't forget that.
And adorable being. Till he gets older and he just looks like a little green turd with giant ears.
Well, we've only seen old Yoda or Grandpa Yoda, so who knows what he looks like as an adult, or just like a...
Probably imagine it somewhere in between.
Yeah, probably. Maybe we'll find out.
Yeah. But so they come up with this plan, this new plan, where Krill takes Baby Yoda back to the ship, and Mando's like, hey, once you get there, put the ship in, what does he call it, ground protection mode or something. It's like, nothing will be able to penetrate those doors in that hole. So you'll be Gucci. Wow, can't believe I just said Gucci, but whatever. They go into town, like Mando's the prisoner, and then that's where he meets up with the client, Werner Herzog's character, which we haven't seen since episode 3.
Well, I found it funny that it was Mando who was the one that really came up with the plan, and maybe Greef Karga was just shitty at plans.
Well, I think, yeah.
Because he came up with another shitty plan, you know what I mean? So maybe he's just not good at coming up with plans.
Maybe.
Maybe that's why he pays the guild members, not is a guild member.
Well, I mean, he is a guild member, but he just manages
them. You know what I mean? Not a bounty.
He's their manager.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we see for the first time, we see Moff Gideon, played by Giancarlo Esposito? I almost said Stanton. I was like, no, that's the Yankees player.
Yeah, and he had quite an entrance scene. He kills everybody in the cantina right before Mando and then planned on killing what were we calling him again? The
client?
Yes, the client. before killing the client. The client gets killed and all the stormtroopers get mowed down by more stormtroopers as he makes his entrance. And another thing that I noticed is in the hologram, you notice that he kind of waved his hand to signal him to start shooting.
Yeah.
But he flies in on the TIE fighter. So where the hell was he, and how the hell, why is he directing, okay, go ahead and shoot, to when he wasn't there?
Maybe he was on another hologram, like he was on hold waiting or call waiting with the Death Trooper leader, and was like, okay, on the other hologram, he was like, go about your business. And so he went about his business. It was like a three-way call. Conference call. They conference called it.
I don't know. That just almost seems like a directing error. I think that would be a more likely explanation, that the director, when they were recording it, were like, yeah, do that. And they're like, no, we're going to do this instead.
Here's another thing. And they might not have thought, hey, people probably won't catch this until multiple viewings, so they didn't really care too much.
Yeah, sure.
But another thing is, how did Moff Gideon know that the Baby Yoda wasn't in Mando's possession?
Yes, Moff Gideon.
Have they brought the child?
Yes, I have. Currently, it is sleeping.
You may want to check again.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point. I was thinking about that myself. Maybe he's force sensitive. And he didn't sense them nearby. So he knew that he wasn't there.
Interesting.
But if that's the truth, then I don't know, because Vader was able to sense Luke. But then again, if he was force sensitive, he wouldn't have, you know, spoken about it. He would have kept it quiet. It would never have developed. So maybe he has some sensitivity, but he's never trained it. You know what I mean?
No, there's got to be some training there in order to sense that there's not, okay, this other force sensitive being is not in their possession, I would think.
Right, but it's maybe like self-training, not formal Sith or Jedi training, you know, from a master, you know what I mean?
Could be. I know the character is heavily involved in season 2, so I hope there's some explanation on that, because I didn't think about him being force sensitive. I was just like, why? How the hell does he know that the baby's not in his possession? And then how do they know that his Death Troopers were only gonna kill his men inside and not all of them?
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point, because they all ducked and ran for cover.
So yeah, I was like, if anything, I guess maybe Mando would have survived, because chances are they would have just hit his armor and it would have held up a couple of blaster bolts.
How tough is that armor? Like, how much can that take?
I don't know. Obviously, it could take a couple of the most powerful sniper blaster in the franchise. But he says it's obviously not indestructible, since he said if I was at closer range, he would have been roasted like a s'more in a campfire.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
So maybe we'll find out. That's a good point. Because I know Baskar is supposed to hold up the lightsabers, I'm sure, as we mentioned earlier. Not in this episode, but in prior episodes. It's pretty strong stuff.
Yeah, we know it's strong stuff, but I don't remember it being tough enough to hold up against lightsabers.
That's a probably an episode 3 conversation that we had.
Yeah, maybe, but that was
when
a
you were
long
time asking
ago, so.
maybe one when you were asking what Baskar is, and I was trying to explain it.
Oh, it could but, be. That was a long time ago, and a lot of
yeah,
weeks
that
ago,
was
so.
6 episodes ago. So, but yeah, I mean, in the comics and in Legends, Baskar can hold up the lightsaber, so it's got to be pretty durable.
Hmm. Interesting. But anyways, let's get back to the episode.
So this episode ends on a very two pretty like one cool scene and one gut-wrenching scene where, you know, it's two scout troopers intercept the transmission of Mando talking to Quill, asking if he's back to the ship. So they end up tracking down Quill and killing him, picking up the baby Yoda.
Which,
and then,
I hate to say this because it sounds terrible, but it was kind of good for the stormtroopers to take the initiative to, hey, we picked up their transmission. He's getting, let's just go ahead and go get him, you know, without having to be told to do anything.
Yeah, that's a good call. They took some initiative.
But, I mean, their initiative killed Quill, so, again, bummer.
It is what it is.
Which is disappointing. I mean, in very...
I mean, even though very... Star Wars is known as keeping the heroes alive for the most part, it was kind of reassuring. Not, I mean, maybe not reassuring.
But, you know, no, anybody can die. Yeah.
Yeah. The creators aren't going to be afraid to kill off a liked character.
Yeah. I mean, but I mean, it was very, very Harry Potter, Deathly Hallows, part one of them. You know what I mean?
No, because I've never seen it.
What?
I've never seen it.
Gee, how did you not? Like, Deathly Hallows was actually pretty good. Harry Potter was a pretty good movie franchise. I mean, I'm not a big fantasy guy, but I mean, it was still pretty good.
Last one I seen was Goblet of Fire?
Four?
Ooh.
So this would have been
What's
seven.
The one after that?
Prisoner, no, it wasn't Azkaban. It wasn't Half-Blood Prince. I don't remember five.
I haven't seen Half-Blood Prince, because that's six.
Yeah. Five was with the crazy bitch. I saw her psycho bitch, because she, I don't remember her name, but she was just crazy. But the actress did a great job, because she was universally hated. You know you do a good job when you're universally hated.
Yeah, I don't know. I've seen the first four or five. I haven't seen the last three for sure, so...
All right, well, the movie's been out for years, so spoilers. Dobie, you remember Dobie, the little elf from 2?
Yeah.
Well, at the end of Deathly Hallows Part 1, Dobie gets killed. So that's why I'm like very Deathly Hallows of him.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then they kind of made a big deal of it. You're in like a dramatic scene, and they kind of did the same thing at the end here because they cut away after Quill's death.
Yeah, because they cut back to the action.
No, I thought that was the end of the episode. Because he kept yelling, Quill, Quill, are you there? Quill. And then I thought that was it. And then you see, nope, Quill died. They got Baby Yoda. End of episode. Cliffhanger.
Oh, okay. Then the TIE Fighter lands before that happens. Which is, I guess I was just saving it because I wanted to talk about it. Because that is a badass TIE Fighter.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm curious how that folds.
Well, I'm not curious how it folds. I mean, we could do that with modern jets and their wings, but it's like...
Well, for TIE fighters, because they never done that before, have they?
Not that I know of, because they've always had to be like when you see them in Rebels or in other show or movies, you know, they're hanging off the wall or they're kind of they're hardly ever just... They're never folded like that.
Yeah,
they're always sitting on their wings with their wings acting like they're landing gear. So,
yeah, I mean, I remember playing Star Wars Battlefront 2 and doing the space battles as, you know, and flying the TIE fighters and being able to land them. And they were a fixed wing spacecraft. Yeah, fixed wing spacecraft. So I didn't think they folded like that. So that's pretty damn cool. Maybe it's a prototype.
That's what I was thinking. It has to be. And you don't see them anywhere else. So when was this prototype built? Because the Empire's been gone for a few years. So that ship's got to be... It can't be a recent prototype. It's got to be a prototype that they started before the Empire fell. And it's just been his ship ever since.
It would make sense if... I think I've given this theory before. I think I gave it last episode. But my theory was that... it was the one with the, we were talking about with the sniper, the chick, the guy who walked up, that it was the First Order, that it was, this is how the First Order gets started, and these are the guys who are, so they're starting to get some funding, and they're starting to put out like new prototypes, and maybe that's what they're doing. That's why everything's a bit more formal, and all the troopers that come in are a lot cleaner, because you notice that the ones that were in the town were like dirty, raggedy uniforms, and the ones that come in to reinforce them were like clean, pristine uniforms. So maybe this is the rise of the First Order, and that's their new prototype.
Maybe. It just seems too early, because the New Republic's barely 5 years old, and there's still another 25 years until the start of Episode 7, so it just seems...
But you got to remember... The First Order was controlled half the galaxy by that in the 25 years then. And it takes time for empire to be built and conquer, I mean, that takes a long time.
They always said Rome wasn't built in a day.
No, it was not.
But I mean, the thing I was thinking of, it's like I don't care for the sequel trilogy too much, so I like 7 and that's about it.
But I feel like it had a lot of potential with 7, and then it 8 kind of ruined the whole thing, and I feel like 9 was trying to save 8, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know, that's getting off topic a little bit. I'm not
right, yeah.
But the point I was making is I'm not as familiar with those movies, so you could be right. It could be the start of the First Order, but I'm just thinking from my limited knowledge of that time period, it just seems a tad early. That's why I was thinking maybe it was a Empire prototype they were working on, and then once the Empire crumbled, he kind of got his hands on it, and it's been like his command fighter ever since.
Yeah, could be.
So
I mean,
it could go either way. Maybe we'll get some more answers in season 2.
Hopefully, we better get a lot more answers in season 2. I don't want to wait till season 3 to find out.
With all the answers that we want, I feel like season 2 is going to have to be like 100 episodes long. it's like there's like 50 answers we want per episode that we do. It's just going to be enough time to cover it if they do.
Well, they already confirmed season 3, didn't they?
Yeah.
So, I mean, all right, so they get 2 seasons to do it.
Yeah, the shitty part is, I mean, we're getting this. Season 1 came out November 2019. We're getting season 2 October 2020. There's rumors that it's possibly earlier, but that's just too much time. It's like, it's almost the year. I know we got to wait. Like, Star Trek is about a year and a half per season, in between seasons, kind of like Game of Thrones was at some point. So I just like, I know we got to play the waiting game just because they got to have time to make these episodes, but
at least you don't have to wait almost 3 years for the Orville. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. So.
But yeah, I mean, I feel it. I feel it.
Yeah. I was like, I want answers now. I want it now. Okay. We'll not get into that. So Chris, let's talk opinions. What did you think of the episode? Did you like it?
Yeah, I mean, I did. It was another great episode. I mean, I hate to say it. It's kind of just being a bit repetitive, you know, great directing. I guess there was some flaws in it. But then again, it took a lot of weed and a lot of nitpicking to really pick out the flaws. So, I mean, I think if you got to do that and that's where you got to get to find the directing flaws, that's just steak sauce directing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, this was directed by Deborah Chow, who also did episode 3. Yeah, that sounds right.
So, but I mean, we spend most of the episode critiquing and nitpicking and pointing out everything bad. But I mean, pretty much everything in this episode was great. I mean, again, the acting is phenomenal. Baby Yoda's beyond adorable. And then, so I mean, it was a great episode.
Yeah, I agree. I liked it. I think I know Disney Plus doesn't advertise it this way, but it was a good part one to a 2-part finale.
Yeah.
And I couldn't have asked for a better setup. And I just hope when Skipper goes to the bullpen and calls in the closer that they finish strong. And from what I remember, I think they do. So,
oh, baseball.
I know, baseball reference. We're not just nerds. We're nerds who like sports.
Well, football.
Football's like a sport, still classified.
It is.
But yeah, I think it's a great episode. Deborah Chow does a good job. And I'll drop this on you. Deborah Chow is also supposed to be the showrunner of the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. So,
ooh, okay.
Keeping in mind of this episode and episode 3, what kind of hopes do you have for the Obi-Wan series? Hopefully it can get made, because that's just been in like production hell. But
yeah, that was my first question. Like, is it even going to happen? Like, Yeah, they've been saying a lot about the Obi-Wan. First it was a movie, and then it was going to get on Disney Plus rather than theaters, and now it's a show, and it's Ewan McGregor's sign, but maybe he's not. Like, okay, like, what's going on with this? You know what I mean?
Well, now we know he is signed, so something will happen. Don't know if it'll be a show or movie, because, like I said, it's gone back and forth, and I think with all the changes of Disney switching over CEOs, and then Kathleen Kennedy's out on her way out, they had to rewrite some of the scripts because the scripts just weren't up to their standards. And I don't know who's going to be heading Lucasfilm after Kennedy's gone, but I think it's Favreau and Filoni. So
Star Wars is going in a very DC direction, aren't they?
Well, yeah, they're going.
They were in a DC direction to where DC couldn't get anything right. It takes till now to where they're starting to get their
Well, I'll put together. It to you this way. DC's problem was the execs kept interfering with the creators' decisions. And that's been Disney's problem up to, with the exception of The Mandalorian, that's been Disney's problem up to this point, is Kathleen Kennedy and team has been meddling and sticking their noses in and, you know, causing these issues with directors and writers that... You know, they ended up firing them, and they bring on people who will share the same image as Disney. So I think the smart move to do is you got to push those people out, i.e. Kathleen Kennedy, bring in people who understand the franchise, i.e. Favreau and Filoni, and really build a team around them and let them control it. Someone who, as fans of the series,
they understand what the fans want. And that's what Marvel does so great, because Marvel, it knows what their fans want, and it gives them what they want, and that's why they've been able to make 25 movies. Pretty much all of them have been successes.
Yeah,
like I think Hulk and maybe the first Thor were the only two Marvel movies that I think were real bad, and they're just as good as any DC movie.
Yeah, and so I think once Disney can get over that problem and let creators do their thing, they'll start pumping out good shows.
Oh yeah.
So hopefully that goes well. Knock on wood.
Yeah.
Knock on wood.
Shall we punch it?
Punch it, we can beat him.
Punch it, kill it.
Punch it.
Punch it!
Punch it!
Punch it, Hawk Knight!
Punch it! Let's get the hell out of here.
Let's punch it.
All right, well, what do we have in store for next week's episode then? Even though we already kind of covered it, but...
So, next time on Deep Space High, we will be going over the... Part two of the finale, even though Disney Plus does not advertise it that way, just putting that in for disclosure purposes. It's episode 8, season 1 of The Mandalorian, entitled The Redemption. And then beyond that episode, just so everyone has a fair warning, can't say we didn't warn them, we're going to start covering Altered Carbon. So the week after The Mandalorian drops, we're going to do part 1 of Altered Carbon, which is going to be the first half of season 1. So everyone, if anyone hasn't seen that series, go ahead, start watching it now. And that way you'll be ready for it by the time it drops.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching it myself. Now, I'm curious. Yeah. Episode 8 is titled The Redemption. Who do you think is going to be the one getting redeemed? You know what I mean? I never thought about that until just now.
And you know what's funny? Even knowing what the episode is and seeing it, I still don't know who gets redeemed.
I know. I don't either.
it's like,
wait, who's getting redeemed?
I don't know.
I guess we need to rewatch it and find out.
Yeah, we've watched it recently, and then. Okay. All right. I don't know.
We'll find out in episode 8.
But I am definitely going to have that question written down, and we'll be thinking about it next time I watch it for when we record that episode. So
agreed. I will too. All right. Well, I guess that will do it for this episode. Thanks everyone for listening to Deep Space High. Be sure to join us next time as we continue the discussion, or I guess I should say finish the discussion on The Mandalorian.
That's right. That's right. And don't forget to keep the conversation going with hashtag Deep Space High. Also, check out our Facebook page at Deep Space High Sci-Fi TV Reviews and our Instagram at Deep Space High Podcast. There you can get the latest announcements, like what shows we'll be covering and anything else we decide to throw at you.
Yeah, and as much as we love seeing mostly naked bots in our comment section. We would prefer to see actual people in our comment section. And if you want to be one of those people, you can leave a review on Apple Podcasts. You know, these reviews really help us out, give us valuable feedback to give you guys a better listening experience. Well, I think that'll do it. I'm Sky Marshal Chris.
And I'm Jedi Master Steve. And may the Force be with you. Always, my friend.